and thank you for checking out this podcast from Family Worship Center. I'm Devin. I'm the pastor here at FWC in Wilder, Kentucky. Each week, we meet at 10:30 a.m. at our church facility located at 97 Three Mile Road in Wilder, about a half a mile away from the campus of Northern Kentucky University. I'd like to invite you to come and join us for a service if you're in the area on a Sunday morning. But right now, sit back, open your Bible, pull up the sermon notes through the YouVersion Bible app if you'd like by clicking on More, and then Events, and then searching for Family Worship Center Service, and prepare to enjoy today's message.
As we're here as the servants of the Lord, we told your pastors coming in, our joy is always to serve the local church and the people of God, but we do that in each one of us in our own way. For many years, ministry for us was about helping and helping pastors. I grew up helping my pastors and went to Rhema not knowing I would ever be in a pulpit ministry. I didn't go for that. I went to find out how to be a better helper. And when I got there, they told me the best helper would be one that would be God's helper and do some ministry. So from there, we've learned a lot, come a long way. I believe today the Lord sent us, but at the request of your pastors. We're here really to serve the vision of the Lord for this place. And what that means is God has something bigger in store than we ever think on our own. Something that I've found out from Him in every stage of my walk is always He's seeing from His perspective, and it's greater than mine. So today He's going to stretch perspective a little bit. He wants to do that so that when our perspective is greater, our vision is further. We see out there a little bit further. We can understand a little bit more of the goodness and richness of God toward us. Yeah, I would think, looking around the area, that we were kind of in the woods and in a country place until we came over the hill from our hotel and saw downtown. And it reminded me we're close to a city. My dad's people are from Kentucky. We raised our children in North Carolina and Tennessee, so we're homogenized, we call it. We were born in the north but lived mostly in the south. But for us, the people of God constitute home. So you've made us feel very at home here. Pastors Devin and Elizabeth made our accommodations very gracious. They're very honoring hosts, and I know that you're blessed to have them. We didn't really want to see them go away from us, but you've got good folks here, and they've got good people. We recognize when we come in, whenever the joy of the Lord's in the house, it's a good place to be. Now today I'm going to refer to the story of Nehemiah. I asked the Lord regarding the place what He would have me to say, because the visiting preacher can get away with saying things that the at-home pastor wouldn't do. Now, I've not asked Pastor Devin's permission, but you know what? He's been very gracious and said, just whatever the Lord gives you, Pastor, bring it. I have a habit of walking around when I get going, so if I do, I'm not preaching at anybody. I just like eye contact, and but I have to also have enough light to see my notes, as I don't have any glasses on, so I may run around quite a bit. But I know that the Lord is looking for someone who will see from His perspective. Thank you. That was good. A little bit of brightness. Nehemiah was a man called of God in a time like we're living in. In a time where the people of God and people in general had experienced chaos and brokenness. One of the great things that the Lord's doing right now for churches, what we see Him doing at our home church and the groups that we associate with and the pastors that we know, is He is examining His people to bring about a greater order so that He can do some building, so that He can accomplish more. Because He wants His family to be at peace and have safety. This place is going to increasingly be about the peace and safety of the people who choose to come together here. It's going to be known as a safe place for families. It's going to be known as a place where new life can get started. And a lot of folks are going to come out of brokenness and rubble to come into a place where God establishes divine order. Did you know He can make divine order out of any kind of mess? I mean, that really, I know that's how my life is He took whatever He had to work with and made divine order out of it. Now, the wonderful thing about that is every mess becomes something good. See, when we add God into it, it changes everything. Well, Nehemiah was working for the king at the time. He was the king's wine taster. So he was close to the king and watching out for the king, but he also was a prophet and a servant of the Lord. And he had a double life where in one sense he was doing everyday life like we do. We have responsibility. We go out there and make a living, hold down the fort, take care of the family, whatever it is, whatever stage of life we're in, we take care of it. But he also had this inward working that was the Spirit of God working on the inside of him that kept telling him, there's something more to do. There's something more for you. Now, sometimes we can get caught up in our head and think, oh, something more is all about us. But when we come together and become the family of God, we know that something more is really about Him. It's more about who He created us to be. We can have any kind of life we choose, but there's one that is the life of God, the Zoe life of God that is lived by the Holy Spirit. I believe that that's the destiny of every person. I know that's the calling of every church. You may not know exactly how you're going to fit the plan of God, but there's divine order about to come out of whatever degree of chaos you've got. Now, God starts sorting out order with His people through His church. What you'll find, the anointing on this place, one of the primary things God will do here is help people get some things together. Now, you may think, I think I've got it all together. Well, you'll find out you don't. Why? God's got something more inside of you. I believe He's going to wake up in the coming weeks. I heard the Spirit of the Lord say, by this fall, this place will be different. By this fall, order will be established. By this fall, vision will be free-flowing and easy to orate and share with the people. For the foundation stones are being laid for a greater thing to be built by the Spirit of the Lord. And there will be a strengthening with might by His Spirit that rises up on the inside of you. And it will overflow out of you, beginning first with the spirit of prayer in this place. And this will be known as a house of prayer, as Jesus has proclaimed it to be. And from this place, the authority of the voice of God will begin to resound over the hills. And the hills will seemingly reshape to the glory of God, for people will come out of these hills to worship the Lord in this place. And there will be other places, other cities of refuge that will rise up because of the work of this place, beginning first with the spirit of prayer. For surely in this place prophecy will prevail and the word of the Lord will be heard and great things shall come. Well, the Holy Spirit just wanted to break in with that. We'll let Him. All right. Now, Nehemiah went to the king because he was distressed over what was happening on the inside. Pastor Devin didn't express any distress. I'm just know what the Holy Spirit wants to do for your area and the place that you're in. He always wants to do something for an area because of the people in the place. But He has ordained certain things happen in a geography because He knows what He wants to do for the people. Now, Nehemiah was aware that his home, Jerusalem, was in a rubble. It was a rubbish heap. It was a mess. If we were to look through history of modern time, I would say we live in a generation that's come into a mess. God can sort it out. Man can't, government can't, politics won't, Jesus can. And you're a part of that. So you may not know it or you're about to wake up to it. You're a part of divine order. You are who God sends to the situation to help make things smooth out. Now, Nehemiah was aware of the rubble pile, so he went to the king and he said, King, I need your help. And this is a picture of what a pastor does in ministering to the Lord and asking the Lord about the assignment. In Nehemiah chapter 2, God put it in his heart to restore Jerusalem. It was called the City of Peace. And the king gave him a letter that granted him passage and gave him the ability to go in the forest and cut down trees to get all the material that he needed. I believe that when someone receives a call to a place from God, that the place will yield what God needs in that place through the people. Now, what does that mean? It means you're God's best resource. You may not know what forest is inside of you. You may not know what building materials you're made of, but He does, and He knows He can call on you. Now, out of any situation where there's chaos, God's will is always to bring order. Nehemiah knew that. But on the inside, he was determining to do something, to make a change. And beginning today, I believe you're going to have a greater capacity in your heart to say, I'm about to change. I'm going to be a change agent. Now, Nehemiah went in and he surveyed the rubble by night. He went out three nights in a row, kind of in secret, and he looked at the mess. You're going to come into a little season of prayer where God illuminates. He lets you see what I call in the Spirit or by the Holy Spirit's help, the order that He wants to bring, the joy that He wants to bring with the order, to take dysfunction and make it function well, where people have given up, to get hope, and a kind of hope where you're convincing people to choose to believe. I say every so often to our folks back home, it'd just be a good idea to choose to be a quick believer. Just say, if it's in God's Word, just say, I just choose to believe that. And then when you say that enough, you start to get convinced that you really do believe it. And that's how God changes our life mess into His life. He sorts it all out. Now, Nehemiah did what I believe every pastor does, is he said, all right, Lord, I see there's a work to be done. Now, what to recognize is the people aren't the rubble, but the chaos the devil caused for people is the rubble. As I was ministering the Lord, worshiping this morning, I saw big blocks. I'd say they were limestone. And they were sparkly and gleaming in the sun, but they had chinks of mortar on them from a past application, and they were being shaved off. Now, I believe the Holy Spirit's work in your life will be instant. It'll be quick. Because He said by this fall, there'd be some order established. And as soon as that order's established, He's going to begin building what He wants to do through you. When He starts building through you, He does wonderful things to you. And when those things begin to happen to you, you find out there's something else going on inside of you. And He brings the best that's on the inside of you out to the outside. And that's where your life becomes more about ministering to the Lord and serving Him. You know, we can try to do that on our own, but we get frustrated trying to do it. We try to go out there and change everybody's life, and we get frustrated because we can't do the changing on our own. As He changes us, that anointing for change is on our life, and it rubs off on everybody we know. And you're about to become that agent of blessing more than you've ever been for people around you, because there's something the Lord's going to do to supernaturally expand your influence in this place. Now, in Nehemiah, looking at verse 10 of chapter 2, there's always a resistance to God's will. I wish I could go away and say, no, it's just going to be easy. You're not going to have any challenges. You're going to get 10 raises at work over the next 3 years, and everything's going to be, you're going to have to deal with regional resistance. What does that mean? It means it's not about people coming against the work of the Lord. It's not about history coming against the word of the Lord. It's about the enemy trying to stop the work of the Lord. People will always be a blessing to you. But when they come in with mortar from past mistakes on them, it'll get chinked off and shaved off. And what we recognize is to be patient in that process. And recognize the resistance only comes from the enemy. I'm going to talk about some resistance that came. In the Old Testament Hebrew, their names have significance too. As Pastor Devin was talking about the significance of names, some of these guys had terrible names. They were troublemakers. Now, when people come, people are not troublemakers. But the devil is a troublemaker, isn't he? So we recognize the kind of things the enemy would do. Sanballat came, Sanballat and Tobias. Sanballat's name meant hate in disguise or secret enemy. You will always have the enemy of God coming against the work of the Lord, but he's under your feet. If you choose to listen very much, he'll start to gain territory and try to come up and press against you. Put your foot down on him. Whenever a wrong attitude seems to come in and you hear anybody talking negative about anybody else, it's good to put your foot down on that and say, we're not doing that here. Say, Pastor, have you heard anything? No, thankfully not. But what am I aware of? I've been in a lot of churches, and I know that the enemy tries to come in and undermine and cut people down. You want in this place to always be about building people up. You want to take every opportunity, even when you're away from this building, to build one another up. Find something good to talk about every person that you know in this place and focus on that. And if the conversation starts to turn negative, well, you put that under your feet by walking away and choosing to not be a part of that. Why? Everybody that comes here expect that they're chosen of the Lord to be used in this place. And there's something special that is in the inside of them that's going to come out that God's going to use in this place. And some old mortar has to be chipped away. Why? We've got some stuff that we're carrying around. Sometimes we get so used to the stuff that we think we're clean of it until the Holy Spirit does the work and says, oh, you want to change some of that attitude. Why? Somebody might walk in that you have a history with that you think, I don't think so. But let the Holy Spirit do the chipping away. Now, Tobiah came in, and Tobiah's name would be best translated as tradition and religion that's unwilling to change. You say, well, what does that mean? Well, that means we all have to soften our borders a little bit and say, Holy Spirit, we will be open to your way of doing things. We will allow you to change our mind. Now, I don't know a whole lot about your area right here, but I do know that there's always a way everything's been done in the past. Anybody with any church experience will come here having a normal etched in their mind. And what the Holy Spirit wants to do is expose them to a new normal. The more people come in, the more you're going to recognize what new normal is. And it should always do this, bring about a refreshing and an encouragement. It should always leave people with a sense of belonging and being encouraged and built up. It should be all about people experiencing the love of God. And if they're going to experience the conviction of the Holy Spirit, let them get that one-on-one from Him. None of us are about that. We allow Him to be about that. How does that happen? Well, your pastor or other teachers here will bring the word. And I believe we bring an uncompromised word. I know that your pastor does. But we let the Holy Spirit apply that word. So we have a rule in our home church, nobody elbows anybody. Nobody turns and gives them the eye when something's being ministered. Not even mamas and daddies to their kids. They can do that in the car on the way home. They can have a conversation. But when we're together, we let the Holy Spirit do His work. And it's amazing how He can cut away the things that need to be cut away, and we come out feeling good about it. When people try to cut on you, you'll never like it. But when the Holy Spirit does, for a moment we feel the cut, but immediately we feel the heal. You want to be about the healing power of God. Let the Holy Spirit do the other part. And what do we find? We become fitly joined together as the body of Christ. That means no chinks in between the stones fitting together. And we become remarkable in what we can do for Him. Now, Sanballat and Tobiah came in, and they were grieved. They were upset that God was going to do something. Then a third fellow came in named Geshem. Geshem's background was he was intermeddled. What does that mean? He got in the middle of everything. He wanted his opinion to count in everything. And he wasn't just the kind of opinion, here, let me bless you and help you. He goes, I think you ought to do it this way. I think I know the will of God for your situation. I think you need to bless me. And that's kind of how he was. He's kind of selfish. Now, whenever something like this pops up in the work of the Lord, again, we let the Holy Spirit begin to do a work. And as He does that work, we recognize it's not about us individually. We personally have to die to ourselves. Then Jesus can come out, you see. And when He comes out, what I mean by that is the resurrection power comes. We're in the power of God more and more. You've got a sweet spirit in this place. When we're worshiping, I love what you're doing with worship. And I love that she thumps the guitar. Why? It just is an expression of the joy of the Lord and the life of God and engaging people. You never want to lose that. Geshem wasn't into corporate anointing of everybody getting something good. He was more watching out for himself. Of anything that can hurt the work of the Lord, it's selfishness. So what do? We watch out for that in ourselves, and we forgive it in everybody else. Amen? All right. Well, we're still talking about the pastor's perspective, because this is the situation he went in. He had a rubble pile, and he had a lot of attitude coming against him. Recognize, the world can't help it. But when we come together, we are the polar opposite. We come together and we submit to God's divine order and say, I am a part of something bigger. And I'm listening on the inside so that I fulfill my responsibility every time I come together. And I'm going to choose joy even if I'm not feeling any. Now, when we come together, one thing we do is we choose to build somebody up. And when we do, something good always comes back because we're planting a seed. Now, anointing will stir faith to do the plan of God. Today there's going to be an increase of anointing in this place. You say, why do you say that, Pastor? Because he lets me see things that are coming. One of the ladies in your church spoke to me this morning as I was coming in and said, the Lord's anointed your eye to see over into the future. Now, she didn't have any clue what I was going to say today. But she's right about that. I'm going to tell you kind of what that looks like. You kind of see out there in time with the things of God. Time and place are kind of the same. Where when we line up with God's will, we find out that we're on time for the place in our life that we're at. And he takes everything that's been maybe wrong and makes it right and sorts it out. He's about to do that in a supernatural way in this place. Bring some things together you never thought could come together right again. Now, anointing will stir faith to do the plan. How does anointing work? You decide to be in it. See, your pastors will carry an anointing as they proclaim vision through the scriptures and laying out a plan. And I know that pastors Devin and Elizabeth are planners. Okay, I know that they map things out and they're strategic in their outlook and they've got a way everything's supposed to fit together. If you'll embrace that, God will anoint the connection. And you'll see a momentum build. And as you begin to build momentum here as the house of God and the people of God, something's going to change in your personal life. And where you feel like you're behind, you're going to get caught up. Why? It's his way when we honor the Lord and put him first that he lets the residue, the extra, get on us. Did you know the extra is more than you'll ever need? The extra that God has for you. So sometimes we think about it backward. We think, God, when you anoint me and I have enough, I'll do more. And he says, no, when I anoint you, do more and you'll have enough. He just kind of flips it on us. Why? Faith is required. And if we want to do anything for the Lord, our greatest faith ought to be in what we're doing for him, not in what he's doing for us. Now, what I say regularly at home is we're there first to minister to the Lord. Now, that's a different concept than you hear in a lot of places. We come together first to minister to the Lord, and then what happens? Our faith is stirred that he's going to meet all of our need. See, when we're doing something for the Lord and we're a part of a bigger picture, it's so easy to believe he's going to take care of us. I mean, when you get done worshiping, doesn't it just feel like you are here spiritually? Yes. Whenever we do anything that ministers to the Lord, we are ascending to his high and holy place. What happens is we're moving to his level. Did you know his blessing always comes from his level? So whenever we go there, we're giving ourselves to him. And it's a kind of a picture of emptying ourselves out. And he fills us up. Always with an overflow. There's always more. So I want to encourage you with that. Then Nehemiah answered instead to these naysayers. He said, the God of heaven, he will prosper us. Therefore, we his servants will arise and build. They took an attitude. They decided to choose. They were going to get up and do something about it. Well, Pastor, we're all here. We're all helping. I know Pastor Devin says that everybody's very helpful and wonderful, and he brags on you. He's been bragging on you for a long time till he finally let us come and see for ourselves. But I'm here to tell you there's an attitude that will come in the Spirit. And as I'm ministering today, I believe that's going to rub off on you. We come from a little place. I mean, our church is in the middle of a cornfield, where others said historically it'll never make it. We don't need and want another church in this. The town has 400 people across the street. Every other direction, there's just only fields. I mean, one you cross the street one way, there's a town that's about three blocks wide with 400 people in it. And when we started that work, people said, we don't want or need you to be here. Go somewhere else. So, well, that's encouraging. So I prayed with my leaders. We were meeting in our house back in those days. It's 30-something years ago. I prayed with the leaders. I said, let's pray, where does the Lord really want this church? Because they don't really want us here in this town. They're making it clear. And I was one of the good kids growing up there. I mean, I grew up in the area, and I thought everybody liked me. And I found out that they didn't like Jesus so much. And it surprised me. I took it personally, and I had to step back and say, all right, Lord, you sent us here to start this work. We've obeyed you. So we all went. Five of us went our separate ways and prayed, and we were to write on a little recipe card is what it was, where the Lord said the church was supposed to be, and I'll bring it back. Well, we have two population centers in our county. They both have under 4,000 people in the population center. So, I mean, this is rural Midwest. So I prayed concerning Paxton, the county seat. No, that wasn't it. So I prayed Gibson City, where we live now, and that wasn't it. I said, okay, that's the two big towns. And I just said, Holy Spirit, he said, I've already told you where I want it to be. Put it in Roberts. So, well, I believe you're going to tell all the leaders. The same thing. It's the same Holy Spirit. We all went away. We all came back. Everybody put their little recipe card face down on the table in front of me. Pastor, read them. Roberts, 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 Roberts. I said, I guess it's Roberts. What do you? Moved to a little white church and ran a little white church. Why do I share that? God's will prevails. And I believe that the Lord speaks to the pastors, but there is a confirmation of the Holy Spirit through people that ask the Lord. Watch him begin to do things like that supernaturally more for you. He wanted that little story to come out because what it did is it inspired us as a church to get up and build. We were meeting in a basement of my house at that time. Then Sunday schools were upstairs. Everything was all over the whole house before we moved to town. We moved to town in this little place and rented a little white church. It cost me $200 a service. We had two services a week, and I had to clean the church. And it didn't have air conditioning. It was a little white church, little country church. But God blessed it. We opened the windows and we let the people that didn't really love the Lord hear all the worship music we were singing in that place. Then we started to have prayer meetings, but we didn't have prayer meetings in the church. It would have cost $200 to have a prayer meeting at the church. So we had prayer meetings different places in the town, different people's houses, but we always opened up the doors and windows so everybody could hear us praying in the Spirit. And they were saying, what in the world are they doing in that place? But you know, today, the town loves us. You know, today, some of the same folks that made up stories are in church and loving it and loving what God did because they saw the fruit of the love of God after a while. It wasn't another religious thing. It was about relationship. And that's what he's into. Oh, dear. I'm going to speed through this, all right? Yes, I want to point out some concepts. The Lord will make you, as he begins to minister through you, more a giver than a taker. We come to church for both reasons. We need to receive from the Lord. There's times that, man, we just feel as empty as we can be, and we need to be filled up. But we want a purpose in our hearts to be more filled with his Holy Spirit and come here to pour out and become more a giver in the situation than a taker. Now, by fall, there's going to be a shift. That's another one of the things going to just start. There's going to be a change of attitude. I'm here to minister first. Now, that probably dawns on you already when you're ministering and worshiping the Lord, but it starts to change our perspective when we know we're first called to minister and be the church so that others can come and become a part of the church. Now, in verse 3, chapter 3, verse 6, everybody took ownership and they're part of the building. And he said this, he said, the people had a mind to work and it got it halfway done. Now, it's frustrating to get anything halfway done. To me, that's like the most frustrating time, especially if it takes all your energy. But the plan of God for this place hinges mostly on having the mind to work and work together and find out what is the work we're called to do, because not anybody is an island to themselves. We're part of the body of Christ. And Jesus, being the head, is sending orders out through the nervous system of the body. And the best thing I can say a pastor is he's kind of like that. He's supposed to be hearing from the Lord of what's to happen and share with you what, but you participate in the how it's going to happen. Did you know the vision of God will always take everybody? That's how he does it. And that means there's some part of it that you own. I remember being a 10-year-old child, and my pastor in those days would say, I need you to come help me. Well, what do you need me to do? I'll find out when you get there. Just come on and help. And I ended up helping with things. Well, it was a setting much like this, where we were wanting to accomplish something in the place that we lived, and he said, everybody has a part to play and something to do. So that says everybody's called. Now, they went from that point of being halfway there to set a watch and begin to pray. Something that's going to happen, particularly if you're given to prayers, there's going to be a heightening of prayer as you start to build momentum. Why? It's going to happen spiritually before you do anything different in the natural. God's going to stir this place up. And if you're in it, he's going to stir you up. All right. So purpose to be a part of that stirring. Well, that's what an outpouring starts out like. If the glass is kind of empty and you start to pour something in it, it splashes up the sides. And if you're not careful, it comes out all over the place. You're going to have moments like that. Moments of joy, moments of vision, moments of expectation where you say, man, we have such an expectation. What's God going to do? Let him decide. All right, and he will. Now, the strength of the workers waned because there was so much rubbish to work with, they got discouraged in there. They were prayerful. They were watchful. They were watching out why the enemy was coming against them. When you're feeling down, recognize there's a spiritual enemy coming against you. And you may not see him or know what it is, but it's the attitude of the world trying to come in and take away, dilute the ministry of the Lord in the church. And when that happens, you rise up in prayerfulness, and they became watchful. Nehemiah needed a certain kind of helper. I believe that your pastors need a certain kind of helper. It may be several of you doing this. That in Nehemiah's day, it was a trumpeter. The trumpeter stood beside him, and when Nehemiah said, we need to be doing this, the trumpeter called out, and everybody knew, oh, that's the sound to jump up and do this. That's the sound to be on guard, and they would take up their weapon. Or that's the sound, it's all cleared, we're supposed to build, lay another stone. And they paid attention to the direction of the Holy Spirit through somebody who was heralding that out. My role today, why the Lord sent me here today, is to begin that process and herald some things out, to call some things out that He wants to do, so that you can really be called to action, to rally. The favorite thing a pastor wants to hear at first is, what can I do to help? When do you need me to be there? How exactly do you want it? But then there's something pastors like to hear beyond that Nehemiah wanted to hear. He wanted to hear the sound of a response whenever the order was called out. Everybody knew what to do. The what was clear. The trumpet sound said, here's what we're going to do. And all the people did it their own how. A pastor's great joy is to let you own the how. how things are going to be done, to speak into that, to be a part of that, to communicate that, say, Pastor, I believe the Lord would have me help you this way. Does this help you? And to come with creative ideas and move forward. That doesn't mean you run away to declare what the vision is. No, the trumpeter is going to be the person. He says, play this tune. Here's what we're doing next. So what happens is God puts everybody in place, but you get to own more of the ministry. Rather than being asked, you take over possession of something because of the what has been made clear. He says, here's what we're going to do. You've got a big event coming up, 9/11. That's a big what. How it happens will depend on how many of everybody is doing the what and what that looks like. Now, there was something else that was happening here as distraction came. Did you know they were building this wall? They did it quickly. They had 52 days. They finished it. It was a monumental task, and everybody helped. The jewelers were building a piece of the wall. It didn't matter what a person was doing in their secular job, they became a part of the work of the Lord. Now, it says distraction came in from 10 different directions, tried to take them away from it, but they had determined in their heart to rise up and build, and they kept at it. It was a down economy. They were in a drought. The government had raised the taxes. It was not a conducive environment to do something for the Lord, but they decided to do it. When they decided to do it, there was a repeal on the taxes. Now, that'd be a miracle today. But the people had a mind to work. Now, we're going to jump through a couple more things here. Their hands wrought in the work. With one hand, they worked. With the other hand, they held a weapon. Now, I want to talk about what that looks like a minute. I'm here to help empower your pastors in this statement. You have two hands. Part of our effort together is to build what it is God wants to do. And they had tools in the one hand. The other hand, they held a weapon because they had to defend it against the enemy, against rebellion, against an uprising, against just being worn out. The trumpet sound sometimes, I think, played a little tune to encourage people when they were, as it says, their strength waned. That means they were falling over. Sometimes we need to come together to just get propped up in the work of the Lord. Today, I know there's going to be a word as I close with what I'm about to say about the anointing of God in this place. Because His Spirit's going to come on this house. Pastor Devin, in a way that's not been experienced here before. It's going to wipe away tears and pain and destruction and release healing. And there will be a rejuvenating effect of the ministry of the Lord in this place, because you will purpose in your hearts to be the people that build up. As you begin to build up people, God will move to build up the work. Say, well, we've been through some things, Pastor. We all have. The Lord loves to take rubbish like my life and chink away and chink away and chink away. And people might have thought, oh, it's just limestone. No, there's something in the heart of all of us that's a jewel for all eternity. That He's getting down to. And I heard the Holy Spirit say He's about to expose the gems and jewels that will rise up in this generation to display the glory of God, not for the pride of man, not for the accomplishment of any person, but the name of the Lord will be praised in it. And there will be a people that rise up as the diadem of the Lord, elevated in the earth to reveal the goodness of God. And the pleasure of God will be upon them. And there will be a new song that will come. And there will be a new joy that comes with the new song. There will be a new anointing that comes with the new song. And it will cause freedom to explode from the inside of those who have been bound. And they'll come out in freedom. And those persons called the most unlikely of man will be promoted of the Lord and begin leading in the kingdom. For the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but it's righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. If you choose and purpose first to be of the righteous generation, those who rely on Jesus' righteousness, his peace will come in, and this place will become like a city of peace and refuge, but all for one purpose in the latter-day church, that the joy of the Lord will bring a strength to his people. So I heard the Spirit of the Lord say, in this place shall be strength. And where division and strife has come, it will be no more. And the Spirit of the Lord will hover in his presence about this place as a rich, thick cloud. And people will begin to say, come and let us go unto the house of the Lord, up on the hill of our God. And there will be a coming into the presence of the Lord as people come together with an expectation. And the Lord said, if you expect it, he'll do it, and a strengthening will come. A great strengthening will come. Palino nostro lo brangidi desti ocori aneste I dangande etzitaya. Lord, we know that your perspective is greater than we imagine. We know that your joy is our greatest experience. We submit ourselves to your Holy Spirit now, and we ask that you minister to us life and peace. Father, in this place, I heard you to say that there will be a greater anointing. So we call on you now for your presence to increase in our lives and in our midst. Father, you've called this work to do a regional influence. That means the people here are managers and workers for that ingathering. Father, as Jerusalem's walls went up and they were finished in 52 days, they looked around and said, well, the vision is great, but the people are few. But you performed an ingathering that you had designed from the beginning of time. Father, I speak over this place that the anointing for ingathering come. For the purpose and call of this work is to bring people out of the mire and out of the rubble and out of the ashes of past destruction into a place of new life and a place of celebration. Father, to be a place where new life is celebrated and your joy is increased. And a strengthening will come. There will be a great strengthening unto all the people here. Father, I come against the confusion of things past and call it down in Jesus' name. All of the mortar left from those days will be chinked away from your building material. The stones of goodness and righteousness. And Father, there will be a great, great thing built called your family. And in this house, there will be great joy in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to remain as is our custom. The Lord has words for some of you that he wants to speak encouragement over you and say, why do you say that, Pastor? Because he's going to anoint those that want to be in the work to do the work. And his anointing always comes with a blessing. So we're going to linger. I'm going to turn the service back over to Pastor Devin. But we just remain here in service to the Lord. There's some of you that have some mortar that needs to be chinked off, and others that just going to find your place and your fit. But watch what the Lord will do. Watch by fall the great change that will happen because of your faith in Jesus for this place. And you'll no longer be the castaways or the cast off building material. See, we all experience a little bit of that. But he takes us and gathers us together and says, oh no, I've designed you to be a foundation piece. And a piece that brings strength to the whole structure. So a great strengthening is coming. That's what the Spirit of the Lord would say. And it's because of a great ingathering that he has in mind. Now, I know you're on one side of the river. Don't let your prejudice stop people from crossing the river. All right? What do I mean by that? Let folks on the other side come on over if they want to. That's just a little bit of a joke. But what's the Lord saying? Your reach is bigger than you think. All right. That's what the Lord's saying. There's going to be a lot of hurting people looking for a place to be, and this will be their place.
Friends, thanks for listening to the Family Worship Center podcast today. I hope and pray that God spoke to you and that right now you are encouraged, challenged, or inspired to take your next step with God. If you've been blessed by this ministry and would like to support this podcast, you can text 859-780-5011 with the amount of your gift. It's safe, it's secure, and it's easy. Again, that's 859-780-5011 and the amount of your gift. If you'd like prayer, please email me at info@fwccampbell.com. That's info@fwccampbell.com. Have a great week and know that in Christ you are blessed and highly favored.